Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. Hey, I'm your host, Justin Goff. Stay tuned. We got a great show for you today. All right. Hey, and welcome to the podcast today. This is Grace for This City podcast. I'm your host, Justin. Hey, we're helping you turn your city upside down. How are we doing that? Well, we're giving you scriptural motivation and strategy so you can get out there and get some stuff done for your King, King Jesus, that is. And what is it? It is February the 18th. By the way, it's my oldest son's birthday today. Happy birthday, Maxim. Bless you, son. We're so thankful for you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. He turns 8 years old today. Today is a special day. Anyway, shout out to him. But I don't know where you're watching or listening from in the nations, but we've had snow, and I have risked life and limb to get here today to the studios to get this podcast to you. Some things just don't stop. We just keep going. Hallelujah. And I love it. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. We've got a great episode today, and we'll just jump right into this. You know, I've been meditating. I've been thinking on a prophetic word that I heard, coming into, you know, the end of last year, into the beginning of this year, somewhere around December. And I heard this minister say that it was going to be the year of the local church, the year of the local church. Well, I've just been meditating on that. And of course, you know, I pastor a local church, and we believe in the church. We believe what Jesus, the head of the church, is doing in his three metaphors, in his body, what he's doing on behalf of the bride, and us as the building. So we are the body, the bride, and the building. Three metaphors used throughout the scripture, and we are part of that. And I want to encourage you that if you don't know anything about them, at least begin to look into that so you know where you're supposed to be, how you're supposed to be functioning, you know, what things are supposed to be looking like. The Bible gives us some insight and revelation into those things. But we're a part of those three metaphors. And he's not doing anything outside of that. He's not done with the church. You know, he's not done with the body. He's not done with the bride. He's madly in love with the bride. And he's not done building his building. And we found out in 1 Corinthians there that Paul, as part of the apostolic function, is carrying blueprints. And we were warned to be watchful what we're building, how we're building, because there's only one foundation that we're all supposed to be building upon. And the blueprints aren't just something we're making up. You know, we're not adding additions on to this thing based on, you know, our own, you know, savvy, you know, our own architectural savvy. That would be one weird looking conflated whatever that is if everybody just built whatever they felt like. No, we're issued blueprints by way of Holy Ghost. The Father's heart, the deep things of the Father is being searched out by Holy Spirit, and Jesus has given Holy Spirit authorization to reveal things to us concerning that. Since Jesus is the head of the church, then he has given authorization to Holy Spirit to reveal these blueprints, and then these blueprints are delegated, given pieces, parts, given to builders, people, his ministers, his shepherds, his leaders, his apostles, etc. And we're taking those blueprints and we're building. And so we want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. We're just not doing our own thing. You know, unless he builds the house, he that labors, labors in vain. And we don't want all of our work to be for nothing. So I've just been meditating on this. And so we'll just kind of have a conversation today. And as we consider and ponder and meditate upon the year of the local church. And right now I'm currently in a series. We're talking about that. We'll be coming up here on to week number 3, where we're discussing some things about the local church. And so we're going to jump in to this. And there's a couple words. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but there's a couple words that have been of interest to me. One of them is oikos. It's the Greek word oikos. It's the word that gives revelation, insight into a household, okay? the household, in particularly as it applies to born-again believers, the household of God. What does that mean? Well, the New Testament is full of that concept, and that's a very interesting word. And I think that is going to be very helpful to us in our endeavors of being a part of the local church, helping to build the local church, being a valid contributor to the local church. And then, of course, the other word that's of interest is ecclesia. And Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church, is the English word there, but it's the Greek word ecclesia. And that is a very interesting word. And so as we get into this, we're going to discover, maybe for the first time for some, but really discover, what is Jesus doing? And are we in alignment with what he's doing? All right, so we want to inspire people to put the devil in his place this year. Hallelujah. And doing that specifically by strengthening resolve, your resolve, my resolve, to gather and to fellowship as an assembly, a family, a household, an ecclesia. We want to strengthen our resolve as members and participants in the oikos, the household, the family, and to resolve our commitment to the church. I want to inspire us and admonish us to refresh and renew our commitment to our head, our ultimate head, Jesus Christ, of which we are a member of his body. You know, in 1 Corinthians there where it says, he places in the body as he sees fit. You know, as we're talking about renewing our commitment, renewing our resolve to the local church, here's something we cannot forget. God defines relationships. You and I don't. God defines them. And in particularly, let me just draw your attention to this. You didn't choose your biological parents. Now, whether they were good or bad or otherwise, that doesn't matter. But the point being is, you as a spirit being, you did not enter the earth accidentally. You did not show up on the earth and God go, oh, hey, who is that? No, this is uniquely, divinely originated. God chose to put you in the family with your mom and your dad, who were of his design. That relationship, and particularly that's a very unique relationship. In fact, there will not be another relationship quite like that. There's only one womb that you came through. You know, there's a relationship there and a fellowship that is impossible to have with anybody else. That relationship was God designed, God orchestrated. Your father, your mother, your siblings, your brothers, your sisters. You know, I've got four children at home. And one of the things that we're encouraging them with, you know, when they get in a little, you know, argument or something, is to remind them that before you react, that you need to remember that this is a God-assigned, God-designed, God-orchestrated relationship. Though there's nobody else on the face of the earth that can be called your blood brother and sister. Now, we know that there's covenantal relationship, etc., but I'm saying that this relationship is unique because all of y'all came from your mother and I. And because of that unique arrangement, that God defined and orchestrated relationship, we need to honor and prioritize it. Doesn't mean that we, treat other people poorly, but this is a unique relationship and we are to see the honor and the privilege of being uniquely assigned, this relationship being uniquely orchestrated by Heavenly Father. And so before we would lash out and do something, God forbid, hit them or something like that, you know, yell at them, scream at them or whatever, is that we would pause and we would say, you know what, I honor you. You are my brother. You are my sister. You are my family. You know, you are a unique, I am uniquely called and assigned to you. I'm not going to allow the enemy to get in between us. So before I just spat something off, before I say something that I shouldn't, I'm going to consider the relationship and I'm going to honor you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to love you. In fact, I'm going to do everything that I can to maintain this relationship where somebody might say or use these words, that you're going to be my best friend. Now, we have lots of friends, okay? And we have lots of relationships that are uniquely organized and assigned by God for various reasons, and they're all special in their own way. But again, coming back to the root that God has placed us in this family, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to protect this relationship. I'm not going to allow outside forces to diminish the privilege of this assigned relationship. All right, now I kind of took the long way, but I think there's a lot there that we need to ponder, we need to meditate on, really need to consider what I'm saying, because this principle that God defines relationships goes beyond, you can see his heart in other relationships. When he assigns you to somebody, when he's called you, when he has orchestrated relationships, we're to protect them because God orchestrated it. And so if you take that idea that God placed you in a family, you didn't choose it. He assigned you. He designed it. He orchestrated it. Same principle thought, same principle concept here, that you didn't really choose the oikos or the household or the relationships, your spiritual family. You've been placed into a family. In fact, there's a scripture. Let me pull it up here. In the book of Psalm, and Psalm 68, verse 6, God places, one translation says the solitary, another translation says the lonely, but the idea is that God places, but God places where? God places the lonely in families. Again, God orchestrates relationships. And once we yield to that, once we accept it, you know, things will be easier. Let me pull this verse up too. It's in the book of Acts chapter 17. The book of Acts chapter 17. Let's look at this. And yeah, let me pull it up here. And here Paul is revealing the unknown God to this people group here. Let me get to the New King James. Let's see, what verse is it? The unknown God, right here. And he starts in verse 26. And he says, and he, God, has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Watch this. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now, this is a big picture, okay? This is a macro view here. But the point that I want to make is that God is in the business of orchestrating relationships. He has determined the boundaries of people's dwelling. All right. So, you know, think about this. You could have been born anywhere on the face of the earth. You could have been in Africa. You could have been in Germany. You could have been in Europe. You could have been in Canada. You could have been in Russia. You could have been in the United States, Taiwan, the Fijian Islands. You could have been anywhere. Hallelujah. And but God did not make a mistake. You have to understand, he is a master planner. Look at this verse here in Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. One translation, let me see here if this will pull up a different translation here. We are God's workmanship. Here, the New Living says we are God's masterpiece. What else does it say here? Workmanship, creation, masterpiece. The idea is that God is a master craftsman. I mean, he is just not, just slopping stuff around. Everything he does is perfect. He is perfect. There's no shadow of turning within him. There's nothing off about what he's doing. Everything he does perfect. He does right. Now, he gave free will to man. Man messed stuff up, but that wasn't God with a slip up. And so we got to trust that God does everything absolutely perfect, and he's orchestrating relationships. He has predetermined our dwellings. My wife and I, it's been 2016, so we're coming up on, 5 years now, where we moved out, bought a house, bought some property, and I remember that whole situation. It was at the end of 2015, the beginning of 2016, we purchased the home where we're at now in July, or we closed in July of 2016. But before that, we weren't looking for a home. But we spent some time, about 3 or 4 days away on a prayer retreat. And I remember during one of those days, I just had this unction. I had impression on the inside. It wasn't audible voice or anything, but on the inside, I just had this impression by Holy Ghost to get my laptop out and to look for homes. And so, you know, there was a little bit of a process there, but literally within the space of about 1 month, we discovered the home that we're living in now. And there was a series of miracles, you know, that took place, from, you know, a supernatural provision of the down payment, you know, I don't want to go into the details today, because the point isn't how God miraculously worked that out. But the greater point that I want to share is that once we moved out there and we got settled in, the Lord ministered to us through some other people that had just moved out there. And there was this other group that just moved out there as well. And we're all in ministry, and we're all involved and close together today doing ministry things together. We all live very close. In fact, window at my office at my house, I can see one of these people's homes just across the ridge. But we were talking one day, and one of the ladies said, you know, Acts chapter 17, you know, God arranged this. God led you, he led us, she was saying. This other family was led. God led us all out there all about the same time, and we're all involved in ministry. We're working together on various levels, on various projects. Tremendous people. We're great friends. But we realized, wow, God orchestrated this. He was defining relationships. Not only was he defining relationships, he was involved in determining our dwelling. Literally, he was piecing together his body as he saw fit. He was placing in the body, and literally, even geographically, he was maneuvering his people in accordance with his plan. Listen, when you awake to that, when you recognize, hey, you know what, God is doing something here. You know, I didn't necessarily choose to be in relationship with these people because, well, they're great people, they're good people, they're cool, they're awesome, I like what they're doing, et cetera. Yeah, I mean, those are all reasons, or, you know, those are all benefits. But we're not in relationship because I just looked at them and said, hey, I want to be friends with you. We yielded to what God was doing. I had to awake to how he was defining relationships. He brought people into our life with a definition. Does that make sense? And so through spiritual humility, through discernment, through just yielding to the plan of God, you know, not forcing things to happen, not trying to just make things happen, trying to yield, or not trying, but yielding to the plan of God, then you begin to see an orchestration arise to the forefront, and then you just take your place in it. And it was obvious, and we're still learning and growing. I don't fully understand everything, but it was obvious where I fit in the relationship dynamic. And so I just had to recognize that, yield to it, humble myself, and allow God to work through me so that I could be a contributing member, be a contributing part of what he was doing. So listen, if you'll wake up to that, if you'll stop trying to control everything you're doing, a lot of people, because of past wounds, hurts, bad experiences, or whatever, because of just straight up fleshiness, carnality, or a humanistic self-preservation, people don't allow the Lord to maneuver them. They don't allow the Lord to define relationships. Listen, again, you did not choose who your parents were. God defined that relationship for you. And you have to yield to it. You have to recognize, hey, look, I had nothing to do with this. This is part of God's bigger plan. It's bigger than I am. It's a huge plan. He has eternal reasons for why he does a thing. He didn't ask my opinion on who I wanted my parents to be. By the way, he didn't ask your opinion on who your spiritual parents are. You know, he does not ask your opinion before he begins to predetermine your dwellings. Now, a lot of people fight against that, and they have reasons why they don't want to be associated or related or whatever the reasons are. Now, listen, I'm not saying that your family dynamic is perfect, and there might be reasons why you are not in relationship right now with some of the members of your family. That's right, and that's understandable. I understand that. But that's not the norm. That would be the exception. The norm is God chose your parents. Now, maybe they've made bad decisions. Maybe they're abusive, whatever. I get that. That's understandable. That's the exception. But what we're talking about is ultimately God has orchestrated these things. Now, there's an enemy who hates that. And the devil would love to destroy all relationships. He would love there to be a wedge, to be division, okay? But ultimately, God has a plan, and within that plan, he places people as he wills. Did we read that verse yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Was it verse 18? I think it is. 1 Corinthians 12. What's it say this? Or what's it say? Let me get there. 1 Corinthians 12. Is it verse 18? But God has set the members. Now, we're talking about this, the body of Christ. Okay, so here's part of the metaphor. Christ is the head of the church. The church is his body. Okay, all people, all born-again believers are now a part of the body of Christ, and they didn't choose their part. You don't choose to be a knee over a foot. You don't choose to be a foot over an eye. You don't choose to be an eye over, you know, a shoulder or whatever. We're assigned in the body as he sees fit. It says here, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. We're positioned in the body according to his good plan and pleasure. We yield to it. We seek God humbly for our place, because in your place is where your grace is. And if you're not in your place, functioning in your grace, you're going to trip around and fall on your face, friend. And a lot of people are fumbling and bumbling and just tripping all over the place and making a mess because they're trying to maintain control. They're trying to do what they want to do rather than asking God, where's my place? Where's the best fit for me? Where have you graced me? Where's my grace flow? And I want to get under that spout, hallelujah, where the glory comes out. I want to get under that grace flow because it's in that grace flow that I'm going to be calm. I'm going to be steady. I'm going to have peace. I'm going to have a sense of purpose. You get out from your grace flow and you're going to be purposeless. You're going to be aimless. You're going to be idle. You might be doing a lot of things, but it's going to be judged idle because everything's got to line up with his plan and his purpose. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, then you're going to have a hard time and you're going to keep bucking the system and fighting the system. You're going to be blaming people that don't need to be blamed, and you're going to be fussing about what so-and-so's doing and how you don't like what so-and-so's doing. Well, it may be because you're out from under your grace. You're misplaced. You're aimless. You're just wandering around doing your own thing. Listen, God isn't doing anything outside of this. And so, you know, I don't know what happened to you in 2020 or in 2019 or whenever, you know, sometime in the past, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, 200 years ago, it doesn't matter. God isn't doing anything outside of this. Now, there's healing for you, and there's healing and forgiveness and restoration for the abusers and whatnot if they'll yield to it. But he's not doing anything outside of this. You might be a million miles away from where you're supposed to be, but God still has an appointment for you. The question is, are you and I going to wake up to it and yield to it and yield to his definition of relationships. So again, he places in the body as he sees fit. Let's just go here too. So this is all part of getting 2021, this is part of you winning in 2021, is yielding to what God is doing in the earth right now and finding your place in the body of Christ. Let's go to Jeremiah. And let's see here. Jeremiah 23. And in verse 1, he says this. He said, "Woe to the worthless shepherds." That's strong. That is really strong. "Woe to the worthless shepherds." Are there some sorry, no good leaders out there? Sure. There are charlatans. There are deceivers. There are pranksters. There are people that are only in it for the money. People who are only in it for control. Well, totally, totally. That's out there. There's an enemy. And the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy anything God's doing. You're going to have opposition against it. Hello. Okay. So those people are out there. And if you've had a bad experience, that's terrible. That's tragic. I would encourage you though, if you've had a bad experience, especially if it's been, 20, 30, 40, 80, 100 years ago, there's a good chance that you've exaggerated it some by now. By the way, the Bible says to make sure that you don't allow the sun go down on your wrath, on your anger. Really, we could say this: don't let the sun set even on your bitterness and unforgiveness, lest there's a root. Now, if you get rooted in something, you ever tried to pull up, a small tree or a bush or whatever that's just had a pretty significant root system? It's a lot harder to pull up. We were trying to pull a shrub up once, and we even attached the truck to it. I mean, the thing above ground didn't seem that big, but I'm telling you, it was rooted in there. We had to get a chain and a truck and just basically rip it out. So you don't want something to get rooted. And if you don't deal with it, if you don't deal, even weeds, if you don't deal with them, they can get a pretty significant root system developed. It's just harder to get it out. It's not impossible, but it's just harder. So you want to deal with things. And if you're carrying baggage from 20, 30, 40, 80, 100 years ago, even 10 years, even 5 years ago, there's a good chance that, man, there's a root system on that thing now. And along with that root system, there's probably been some exaggerations. You've embellished the story a little bit. You've added to it. And by this point, I would say half of it is not even true. You have meditated on, you have used your imagination now so much concerning how bad you were mistreated and what they did to you. I'm telling you, there's a good chance that half of it is made up now at this point. Now, there may have been some legitimate injustice and some mistreatment, etc. But if you have stewed on this thing, if you have simply meditated on this thing, listen, if there was any bit of the enemy adding even a seed of exaggeration to it, by this point, that seed of exaggeration has produced a harvest of exaggeration. Okay, listen, you just need to become clean of that. Are there bad people? Yes. But are you still alive? Praise God, let's move forward. I'm not trying to be harsh or in sympathy. Can't think of the word. I'm not trying to be unsympathetic. But listen, it's time for you to move on. And what the enemy is doing or would love to do is to keep you outside of the thing God's doing because of the one bad experience you had X amount of time in the past. This is what forgiveness is for. What is forgiveness for? When people do things they should not do. That's what forgiveness is for. And it's probably a good time for you to mature and to realize that you may have to actually utilize the tool of forgiveness that is given to you to use when you were born again. Remember what he said in Mark 11:25. He He said, whenever you stand praying, if you have aught against anybody, if you have unforgiveness towards anybody, he said, you need to forgive or your Father will not forgive you. Listen, is what they did so bad that you're going to forfeit your own forgiveness when you do something stupid? I don't think it is, friend. Okay, so let's go from being locked in the past to being set free right now in the name of Jesus. We've got things to do. So we're going to forgive them. That's what we're going to do. I forgive you in the name of Jesus. Yeah, you were a total loser, but I forgive you right now. And I receive my own forgiveness for conflating, inflating, and exaggerating and meditating on this thing day and stinking night for X amount of time. I receive my own forgiveness for that. Father, I thank you that you went to the cross for me and you paid the price so that I could be forgiven. So, Father, I release them. I forgive them. I choose to move on from this day forward, and I receive my own cleansing right now by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, you're helping me to not walk in unforgiveness, to not walk in bitterness, to not walk in keeping records of wrongs towards anybody from this day forward. I'm completely free from that in Jesus' name. All right, now, we know that there are people who take advantage. This is what he said here in Jeremiah 23. Woe to the worthless shepherds. Okay, that's strong language. But he went on to say, these jokers, they destroy and they scatter sheep. But look at verse 2. But the Lord says that he's got something against them. So God's going to get involved. Listen, there was some legitimate injustice, mistreatment. Your vulnerability was taken advantage of. Listen, God has not overlooked that. He has not overlooked that. But you've got to release it so that he can have his wrath. You have to release it so that he can take his vengeance. Okay, this is Bible. Look at Romans. Okay, you've got to release that. If you try to take the law into your own hands, you're going to do something stupid and get in trouble yourself. So release it into him. Trust him that he has aught against, he has something against them. He doesn't have unforgiveness towards them in that sense of the word, but because his throne is established on justice, he's got something against them if they have mistreated the sheep of his pasture. Trust the Lord in that. Okay? So he says this, you've scattered my flock, you've driven them away, you've not attended to them. He said, behold, I will tend to you for the evil of your doing, says the Lord. Listen, he's not overlooked this. He's in the business of justice. All right, verse 3. But here's what he's doing. He said, I'm going to gather the remnant of my flock out of all the places where they've been driven, and I'm going to bring them back, listen to this, to their folds. To their folds. And in their fold, they shall be fruitful and increase. Listen, this is a promise from Scripture, friend. Justin has not made this up. If you're following along with me here, we're in Jeremiah 23. I didn't make this up. These are the words of Heavenly Father. This is Holy Ghost inspired, heart of the Father right here. Look, first things first here is you have to recognize that he's not doing anything outside of this. There may have been worthless shepherds. People may have been abused and mistreated and taken advantage of, but God is not doing anything outside of this. In fact, in spite of the shenanigans that have gone on inside of the church, he's saying, I'm going to draw my people. I'm still going to draw my people. Even people who haven't been drawn in before, the plan with them is to not do something separate or a sideline thing over here. You know, it's not like God saying, well, because, you know, I had some worthless shepherds here, I'm going to do a new thing with you because I don't want you to get mixed up and wrapped up with this over here. No. He's going to deal with the worthless leadership. He's going to deal with those who take advantage. He's going to deal with those who mistreat and scatter. He's going to deal with them, but he's still drawing people into the fold. The same fold that a thief snuck in. Come on, remember in John 10, the idea is that, hey, look, thieves are trying to get in. And if they don't come in the appropriate way, you know there's something fishy about it, okay? But he's still doing and working with Sheep folds. Okay, the metaphor. Get the metaphor. We didn't even choose that metaphor. Heavenly Father chose to use the metaphor of him as shepherd and us as sheep. So we're working with the metaphor right here of the fold. Even though thieves try and break in, even though they try and come in through another way, other than the front door, other than through the front entrance, they try and sneak in, break in another way. And they've gotten in at different times. People have broken in, but he's not doing anything different. But he's going to deal with those treacherous ones, wolves in sheep's clothing, etc. But he's not doing anything different than the sheepfold. He's still drawing people to the sheepfold. Listen, God is still calling people to the church. Even if you've been hurt in church, even if you've been church hurt, I don't mean to mock that because that is legitimate, but at the same time, it's been exaggerated. Okay, people have conflated things. People have used that. It's a very lame excuse. You know, I've been church hurt, so I'm not going to even go to church anymore. Listen, God isn't doing anything different than church, than the fold, than the family. Okay, he said, I'm going to draw you, and I'm going to draw you into folds. And there, he said, you will be fruitful, you will increase, and we can easily add the word thrive. You'll thrive in that sheepfold. Now, listen, outside of the sheepfold, scripturally speaking, he's not going to guarantee that you're going to thrive. Outside of the sheepfold, he's not guaranteeing that you are going to increase and multiply. In fact, he calls you a lost sheep if you're outside of the group. If you're just out somewhere on your own, wandering around the mountaintops, you know, going here, going there. Listen, not only are you vulnerable, remember the metaphor of the sheep, you're vulnerable because you don't have within yourself much self-protection. You know, you're not a, you're not like a, you're not like a, you know, another animal that has claws and teeth and massive strength. I mean, in the metaphor of the sheep, you're pretty docile. You require somebody else's assistance in order to truly survive and thrive and live. Okay, if you're out there on your own, remember, Heavenly Father chose to use the metaphor of him as shepherd and us as sheep. So if you're just out there on your own, you don't have much protections in and of yourself. You don't have much to defend yourself with. And so if you're just out here because, well, you know, years ago, a wolf snuck into the sheepfold and hurt a bunch of us, and so now I'm going to go out here on my own. Well, listen, you're just putting yourself into a very vulnerable position for wolves to take advantage of you even easier now. So he's calling people in, even outside people. Listen, people that don't even know Jesus Christ, okay, in your evangelistic efforts, where are you leading them back to? Are you giving them permission to stay out on their own? Listen, again, the metaphor, Heavenly Father chose it. He sees them as sheep that are scattered and lost. And if he's drawing them to himself, where do you think he's going to put them? He's going to put them in a fold. He's going to bring them back to a sheepfold. And there, they'll be fruitful. There, they'll multiply. And there, they'll thrive. All right, verse 4, look at this. He says, I will set up shepherds. Oh, listen to this. The New Living Translation says, I will appoint responsible shepherds over them, hallelujah, who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord, hallelujah. Listen, he said, I will set up responsible shepherds. So maybe in your past, you've come across some real bozos. I mean, some professional clowns, these charlatans. Maybe they were false teachers, false prophets. Maybe they have strayed from the faith because of their love of money. You know, there was a story in our area recently, you know, in recent history, where a pastor embezzled money. I mean, it's sad. It's absolutely sad that somebody took advantage of the people's trust in such a way, and it was tens of thousands of dollars. And, made front page news. You know, I mean, front page, you know, this isn't hearsay. It was front page news. The guy's in prison right now. And the church even came to him once they found out and said, hey, man, if you'll just pay it back, you know, if you'll commit to paying it back, We won't press charges. I mean, what grace, what mercy, hallelujah. Mercy, yeah, wasn't really grace. What mercy to be extended to somebody in that situation. And the guy refused, and he's in prison now. So these things happen. They happen. They're not good. It's not fun. It's wrong. People's trust has been abused. And the whole litany of adjectives that go along with that. What I'm saying is that does not mean that God just scraps everything because somebody on the inside yielded to deception, to manipulation, yielded to a plan of the enemy, yielded to division, yielded to lying, to stealing, to whatever. God isn't scrapping everything because of a few bozos. These are tragic. It's terrible. But he's not doing anything different than what he already set out to do. And he still, in spite of the thieves that come in, that break in, set themselves up, wolves in sheep's clothing, he's still doing what he said he would do, what he set out to do, and that's draw people to himself, draw the sheep unto a shepherd. And he utilizes what we would say is under shepherds. This is where Jeremiah says, I will appoint responsible shepherds. Listen, friend, don't play into the devil's hand here by, with a broad stroke, marking everybody, anybody who does anything within organized, structured religion or whatever you want to call it, whatever negative connotations you want to add to it. Don't broad stroke everybody as being a charlatan. That is not true. In fact, it's very offensive to Heavenly Father himself. It's a spit in his own face when he said himself, I am working with responsible shepherds. Listen, what you need to do is find out where Holy Spirit wants you to be. Listen, if you're roaming around doing your own thing, nobody can give you a guarantee that you're not going to be lured, tricked, deceived into winding up in a church full of wolves. If you're just out there doing your own thing, listen, the devil will play against your own fears. Fear is not of God. Okay, first of all, if you're just locked up in fear, you are easily manipulated. I mean, if you're given to fear, notice what he said, I have not given you a spirit of fear. That's what the Lord said. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. He said, fear is torment. It's not of me. All right, but if you constantly yield to fear, fear will manipulate you. And if you're out here on your own because of some bad experience X amount of years ago, listen, I'm telling you that the devil is going to work you over. And he's going to befriend you in a way in order to deceive you. And I've seen it before. People leave really good churches. They leave great leaders. They come out from under tremendous leadership because of something stupid and wind up in worse, I mean, ridiculous circumstances, all because they got out from what God was doing because of offense, namely, exaggerated offense in most situations. And because of that, they got out here and then some wolf in sheep's clothing, befriended them. And now they're in a worse situation and an environment than they ever would have been in if they would have stayed put. Hallelujah. Listen, what am I telling you? 2021 is the year of the local church. You need to get your stuff sorted. God isn't doing anything different. You know, there was this all in 2020. There was these words, right? These prophetic, I call pathetic words. God's done. He's judging the church. Judgment on the church, judgment on leaders. Sure. Some of that was happening because of the law of seed time harvest. Galatians 6, God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap what? Destruction. Listen, judgment is in the seed. Judgment. It's in the seed. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And some people have been sowing towards the flesh, towards carnality. They've been sowing all these things of the flesh. And you know what? They did reap the whirlwind. And 2020 just proved where a lot of people were at with the Lord. And it just, things came out. It was due season for a lot of people. Unfortunately, they didn't reap life. They didn't reap good things. They reaped judgment because it was already in the seed. Listen, I'm being judged all the time. Hallelujah. I just believe God, I'm sowing the right seeds so that when I'm judged, when the harvest judges me, then I'm receiving good judgment. I'm being blessed. Hallelujah. I'm being favored. I'm being moved forward and not being set back because I'm reaping destruction. I forget where I was going now with that, but So there was in 2020, the church is being judged, and we got some of those accusations, this particular situation that I'm thinking about, they were saying, no, God's doing the house church movement. Listen, and we'll get into this. You're not called. God doesn't call you to a street address. He doesn't call you to a brick and mortar. He doesn't call you to a particular meeting location. God calls you, he draws you, he places you in folds. Psalm said in families. He puts you into his oikos. You're placed into a household. You are placed into a kingdom oikos, a living, breathing, interrelated dynamic of people, of shared assignments. You're not just called to a building made out of metal or brick or concrete or wood or whatever. You're not called to a street address. Think about this. I mean, we got brothers and sisters in different parts of the world that don't have a standard meeting place because of persecution. They have to change the location of their meeting place so they don't get in trouble, so they don't get arrested, so they don't get fined. I mean, if God called somebody to a street address, well, they would be in trouble, wouldn't they? God didn't call you to that place just because your grandma or your grandpa gave the most money to have that building built. Praise God for their willingness, for their sacrifice. But you're not called there just because that's just what everybody's done for the last 50 years. That's not where God called you, just because your grandpa or your mom, or your dad, has their little golden badge on the pew that they purchased. Listen, God calls you into a family. God calls you into a sheepfold. It's not about a building. And so 2020, there was all these people saying, God's done with the church. It's all about the house church movement. Listen, you just left one building for another building. And you brought all your baggage. You brought all your offense, all your bitterness towards the things you didn't like in that building, and you just brought it over to this other building. Listen, it doesn't matter where you meet. You want to meet in the house? Fine. You want to meet in a, different looking building? Fine. You want to, pretend like, you don't have to do things there the same way you do it here. Listen, the same people who had problems with authority in a building that looks like this studio have the same problem with authority in a building that just looks like somebody's personal residence. Listen, whatever you have not dealt with doesn't just stay in the building. You're taking it with you. And if you've got a root of it, then you're just dragging that. You're just dragging that weight wherever you go, doing whatever you are doing. I just find it interesting that some of these people that were saying God's judging the church and now he's working with a home church struggled with authority in one place and now are suddenly the leaders in another place. Listen, that's self-preservation. And that's very dishonest. It's not very introspective at all. Hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. But I'm just saying God's not doing anything different than what he's doing. People see the church as a building. The church isn't a building. And that'll be another podcast. I'm going to have to bring this to a close today. I hope you are encouraged. But listen, if you're going to win in 2021, okay, if you're going to be in the right place doing the right thing, then I'm going to leave you with this. Let's just recap really quick. Is that God defines relationships. And friend, you're going to struggle until you yield to that revelation knowledge right there. You're going to have to learn how to recognize that there are people more honorable than you are. That's in the scripture. That's Luke chapter 14. You can go back. You can look at that. And God is bringing you into the labors of others. What a privilege, what an honor. But you are not the top dog everywhere. And if you'll trust God, if you'll stop trying to preserve your own life, if you'll trust him, okay, if you'll cast all care and humble yourself under his mighty hand and allow him to place you somewhere because of family, because of sheepfold, because he's working with shepherds, because he has a plan that he's already preordained and he's orchestrating all the players. If you'll yield to him and say, God, wherever you want me, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Wherever you place me in the body, I'll put down roots and grow. Wherever you call me, Father, I will be excited about it. I will be happy. I'll literally even put a smile on my face. God, I will get rid of this scowl that I've been carrying now for years and this self-pity, this self-loathing, self-hatred that you've been carrying around with you all these years. Just cast that off right now. Put a smile on your face and tell the Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it for you in the name of Jesus. And listen, friend, you'll win 2021. Now, he's not going to leave you alone, because he loves you. And somebody is going to invite you to church. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to now. Maybe you're a leader. Maybe you're a pastor. Maybe you're already plugged in. Well, then this isn't for you. But if you're listening to me right now and you haven't been involved in church, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is going to annoy you this year. I'm just telling you to get ready for it, that you're going to be invited again to church. And I pray that a true witness of Holy Spirit, true evangelist, somebody who's full of the Holy Ghost and fire, a true witness, is going to come across your path, and they're going to invite you, not just once, not just twice, maybe not even just 20 times, but they're going to stay on you. Listen, friend, it'll be the Holy Ghost giving you another opportunity to get involved with what he's doing. Listen, you're a part of the body, and he loves you, and he needs you. You're his bride. He's madly in love with you, but he's also responsible, we know from the scripture here, into bringing you into purity and into perfection and to a place where there's no blemish or spot on you. Yield to him, friend. He's madly in love with you. And then also the metaphor of you are his building. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he's working and building you to be a dwelling for his very own fullness. And then, of course, the last metaphor that we could imply is that you are his sheep, and he loves you, friend. And he's trying to get you into green pastures. Listen, you've been eating that brown, dried out slop with all the garbage. Listen, he wants to bring you into green pastures. Listen, you are not what's the word here? You are not like a vulture. You are not a cleaner. You are not a bottom dweller. You know, the vultures that come in and clean up the roadkill. Praise God for vultures, but that's not who you are. You're not destined to just thrive on throwaways. And you're not one of those little cleaner fish at the bottom of that nasty aquarium, right, that loves to eat all the poop and the algae and all that kind of stuff. That's not the metaphor. You're a precious sheep. You're a precious sheep. And he wants to lead you by the rivers of clean water. He wants to take care of all your needs where you shall want for nothing and lead you into green pastures. Listen, I'm telling you now, you heard it here. Holy Spirit, he's going to work with you concerning this. It's time to get up and get back involved in what he's doing. Let the past be the past, and let's move on into the future. He's drawing you now in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Well, thank you so much for tuning in today. Hey, I have enjoyed being with you today. Join me again right here, unless we have just crazy weather, which, hey, snow is a good thing. But if I can get here to the studios, praise God. Join me again right here for another podcast next week. Hey, listen, if we can be of any assistance to you, if we can pray with you, if we can agree with you, maybe it's for healing in your body or a situation or a circumstance, reach out to us. You can send me an email, hello@gracecitychurch.tv. That's hello@gracecitychurch.tv. Call me 870-741-9099. Leave a message. Somebody will get right back to you. Listen, it's our honor and privilege to be able to stand with you. Thank you so much. Hey, if you want to become one of our partners and help get the podcast out, there are several ways to do that. You can text the give any donation amount to 84321. It's a tax deductible gift. 84321. Follow the prompts. You can go to the website, gracecitychurch.tv/give. What else is there? Snail mail, P.O. Box 7, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. Thank you in advance for anything that you might consider doing just to help the podcast get out there. We're not trying to get our name out. We're just trying to get the word out. Until next time, be blessed, my friends.